Chapter 167. A light shines on my way. The year came round to Christmas time, and I had been at home above 2 months. I had seen Agnes frequently. However loud the general voice might be in giving me encouragement, and however fervent the emotions and endeavors to which it roused me, I heard her lightest word of praise as I heard nothing else. At least once a week, and sometimes oftener, I rode over there, and passed the evening. I usually rode back at night, for the old unhappy sense was always hovering about me now most sorrowfully when I left her, and I was glad to be up and out, rather than wandering over the past in weary wakefulness or miserable dreams. I wore away the longest part of many wild sad nights, in those rides, reviving, as I went, the thoughts that had occupied me in my long absence. Or, if I were to say rather, that I listened to the echoes of those thoughts, I should better express the truth. They spoke to me from afar off. I had put them at a distance, and accepted my inevitable place. When I read to Agnes what I wrote, when I saw her listening face, moved her to smiles or tears, and heard her cordial voice so earnest on the shadowy events of that imaginative world in which I lived, I thought what a fate mine might have been, but only thought so, as I had thought, after I was married to Dora, what I could have wished my wife to be. My duty to Agnes, who loved me with a love, which, if I disquieted, I wronged most selfishly and poorly, and could never restore. My matured assurance that I, who had worked out my own destiny, and won what I had impetuously set my heart on, had no right to murmur, and must bear, comprised what I felt, and what I had learned. But I loved her. And now it even became some consolation to me, vaguely to conceive a distant day, when I might blamelessly avow it, when all this should be over, when I could say Agnes, so it was when I came home. And now I am old, and I never have loved since. ... She did not once show me any change in herself. What she always had been to me, she still was, wholly unaltered. Between my aunt and me there had been something, in this connection, since the night of my return, which I cannot call a restraint, or an avoidance of the subject, so much as an implied understanding, that we thought of it together, but did not shape our thoughts into words. When, according to our old custom, we sat before the fire at night, we often fell into this train, as naturally, and as consciously to each other, as if we had unreservedly said so. But we preserved an unbroken silence. I believed that she had read, or partly read, my thoughts that night, and that she fully comprehended why I gave mine no more distinct expression. This Christmas time being come, and Agnes having reposed no new confidence in me, a doubt that had several times arisen in my mind, whether she could have that perception of the true state of my breast, which restrained her with the apprehension of giving me pain, began to oppress me heavily. If that were so, my sacrifice was nothing, my plainest obligation to her unfulfilled, and every poor action I had shrunk from, I was hourly doing. I resolved to set this right beyond all doubt, if such a barrier were between us, to break it down at once with a determined hand. It was what lasting reason have I to remember it? A cold, harsh, winter day. There had been snow, some hours before, and it lay, not deep, but hard frozen on the ground. Out at sea, beyond my window, the wind blew ruggedly from the north. I had been thinking of it, sweeping over those mountain wastes of snow in Switzerland, then inaccessible to any human foot, and had been speculating which was the lonelier, those solitary regions, or a deserted ocean. Riding today, Trot? ... said my aunt, putting her head in at the door. Yes, said I am going over to Canterbury. It's a good day for a ride. ... I hope your horse may think so too, said my aunt, but at present he is holding down his head and his ears, standing before the door there, as if he thought his stable preferable. ... My aunt, I may observe, allowed my horse on the forbidden ground, but had not at all relented towards the donkeys. He will be fresh enough, presently. Apostrophe apostrophe said one. The ride will do his master good, at all events, apostrophe observed my aunt, glancing at the papers on my table. Ah, child, you pass a good many hours here. I never thought, when I used to read books, what work it was to write them. Apostrophe, it's work enough to read them, sometimes, apostrophe I returned. As to the writing, it has its own charms, aunt. Apostrophe, ah, I see. Apostrophe said my aunt. Ambition, love of approbation, sympathy, and much more, I suppose. Well, go along with you. Apostrophe, do you know anything more? Apostrophe said I, standing composedly before her. She had patted me on the shoulder, and sat down in my chair of that attachment of Agnes. Apostrophe apostrophe, she looked up in my face a little while, before replying. I think I do, Trot. Apostrophe, are you confirmed in your impression? Apostrophe apostrophe, I inquired. I think I am, Trot. Apostrophe, she looked so steadfastly at me. With a kind of doubt, or pity, or suspense in her affection, that I summoned the stronger determination to show her a perfectly cheerful face. And what is more, Trot apostrophe said my aunt. Yes. Apostrophe apostrophe, I think Agnes is going to be married. Apostrophe, God bless her. Apostrophe apostrophe said I, cheerfully. God bless her. Apostrophe apostrophe said my aunt, and her husband too. Apostrophe, I echoed it, parted from my aunt, and went lightly downstairs, mounted, and rode away. There was greater reason than before to do what I had resolved to do. How well I recollect the wintry ride. The frozen particles of ice, brushed from the blades of grass by the wind, and borne across my face, the hard clatter of the horse's hoofs, beating a tune upon the ground, the stiff tilled soil, the snowdrift, lightly eddying in the chalk pit as the breeze ruffled it, the smoking team with the wagon of old hay, stopping to breathe on the hilltop, and shaking their bells musically. The whitened slopes and sweeps of downland lying against the dark sky, as if they were drawn on a huge slate. I found Agnes alone. The little girls had gone to their own homes now, and she was alone by the fire, reading. She put down her book on seeing me come in, and having welcomed me as usual, took her work basket and sat in one of the old-fashioned windows. I sat beside her on the window seat, and we talked of what I was doing, and when it would be done, and of the progress I had made since my last visit. Agnes was very cheerful, and laughingly predicted that I should soon become too famous to be talked to on such subjects. So I make the most of the present time, you see, apostrophe said Agnes, and talk to you while I may. Apostrophe, as I looked at her beautiful face, observant of her work, she raised her mild clear eyes, and saw that I was looking at her. You are thoughtful today, Trotwood. Apostrophe apostrophe, Agnes, shall I tell you what about? I came to tell you. Apostrophe, she put aside her work, as she was used to do, when we were seriously discussing anything, and gave me her whole attention. My dear Agnes, do you doubt my being true to you? Apostrophe apostrophe, no. Apostrophe apostrophe, she answered, with a look of astonishment. Do you doubt my being what I always have been to you? Apostrophe apostrophe, no. Apostrophe apostrophe, she answered, as before. Do you remember that I tried to tell you, when I came home, what a debt of gratitude I owed you, dearest Agnes, and how fervently I felt towards you? Apostrophe apostrophe, I remember it, apostrophe, she said, gently, very well. Apostrophe, you have a secret, apostrophe said one. Let me share it, Agnes. Apostrophe, she cast down her eyes, and trembled. I could hardly fail to know, even if I had not heard, but from other lips than yours, Agnes, which seems strange, that there is someone upon whom you have bestowed the treasure of your love. Do not shut me out of what concerns your happiness so nearly. If you can trust me, as you say you can, and as I know you may, let me be your friend, your brother, in this matter, of all others. apostrophe apostrophe, with an appealing, almost a reproachful, glance, she rose from the window, and hurrying across the room, as if without knowing where, put her hands before her face, and burst into such tears as smote me to the heart. And yet they awakened something in me, bringing promise to my heart. Without my knowing why, these tears allied themselves with the quietly sad smile which was so fixed in my remembrance, and shook me more with hope than fear or sorrow. Agnes! Sister! Dearest! What have I done? Apostrophe, let me go away, Trotwood. I am not well. I am not myself. I will speak to you by and by another time. I will write to you. Don't speak to me now. Don't. Don't. Apostrophe, I sought to recollect what she had said, when I had spoken to her on that former night, of her affection needing no return. It seemed a very world that I must search through in a moment. Agnes, I cannot bear to see you so, and think that I have been the cause. My dearest girl, dearer to me than anything in life, if you are unhappy, let me share your unhappiness. If you are in need of help or counsel, let me try to give it to you. If you have indeed a burden on your heart, let me try to lighten it. For whom do I live now, Agnes, if it is not for you? Apostrophe apostrophe, oh, spare me. I am not myself. Another time. Apostrophe was all I could distinguish. Was it a selfish error that was leading me away? Or, having once a clue to hope, was there something opening to me that I had not dared to think of? I must say more. I cannot let you leave me so. For heaven's sake, Agnes, let us not mistake each other after all these years, and all that has come and gone with them. I must speak plainly. If you have any lingering thought that I could envy the happiness you will confer, that I could not resign you to a dearer protector of your own choosing, that I could not, from my removed place, be a contented witness of your joy, dismiss it, for I don't deserve it. I have not suffered quite in vain. You have not taught me quite in vain. There is no alloy of self in what I feel for you. Apostrophe, she was quiet now. In a little time, she turned her pale face towards me, and said in a low voice, broken here and there, but very clear. I owe it to your pure friendship for me, Trotwood, which, indeed, I do not doubt to tell you, you are mistaken. I can do no more. If I have sometimes, in the course of years, wanted help and counsel, they have come to me. If I have sometimes been unhappy, the feeling has passed away. If I have ever had a burden on my heart, it has been lightened for me. If I have any secret, it is no new one, and is not what you suppose. I cannot reveal it, or divide it. It has long been mine, and must remain mine. Apostrophe, Agnes. Stay. A moment. Apostrophe, she was going away, but I detained her. I clasped my arm about her waist. In the course of years. Apostrophe, it is not a new one. New thoughts and hopes were whirling through my mind, and all the colors of my life were changing. Dearest Agnes, whom I so respect and honor, whom I so devotedly love, when I came here today, I thought that nothing could have wrested this confession from me. I thought I could have kept it in my bosom all our lives, till we were old. But, Agnes, if I have indeed any newborn hope that I may ever call you something more than sister, widely different from sister. Apostrophe, her tears fell fast, but they were not like those she had lately shed, and I saw my hope brighten in them. Agnes, ever my guide and best support, if you had been more mindful of yourself and less of me when we grew up here together, I think my heedless fancy never would have wandered from you. But you were so much better than I, so necessary to me in every boyish hope and disappointment, that to have you to confide in, and rely upon in everything, became a second nature, supplanting for the time the first, and greater one of loving you as I do. Apostrophe apostrophe, still weeping, but not sadly joyfully. And clasped in my arms as she had never been, as I had thought she never was to be. When I loved Dora fondly, Agnes, as you know apostrophe, yes. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she cried, earnestly. I am glad to know it. Apostrophe, when I loved her even then, my love would have been incomplete, without your sympathy. I had it, and it was perfected. And when I lost her, Agnes, what should I have been without you, still? Apostrophe, apostrophe, closer in my arms, nearer to my heart, her trembling hand upon my shoulder, her sweet eyes shining through her tears, on mine. I went away, dear Agnes, loving you. I stayed away, loving you. I returned home, loving you. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and now, I tried to tell her of the struggle I had had, and the conclusion I had come to. I tried to lay my mind before her, truly, and entirely. I tried to show her how I had hoped I had come into the better knowledge of myself and of her, how I had resigned myself to what that better knowledge brought, and how I had come there, even that day, in my fidelity to this. If she did so love me, I said, that she could take me for her husband, she could do so, on no deserving of mine, except upon the truth of my love for her, and the trouble in which it had ripened to be what it was, and hence it was that I revealed it. And oh, Agnes, even out of thy true eyes, in that same time, the spirit of my child wife looked upon me, saying it was well, and winning me, through thee, the tenderest recollections of the blossom that had withered in its bloom. I am so blessed, Trotwood, my heart is so overcharged, but there is one thing I must say. Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.